So before we begin, I saw that some of us got in a little late today, and I didn't get to say hi to everybody. So we can stand up and just say hi to the person behind you. Don't get us scattered around. Just say hi to everyone right here. Sweet deal. So I finally figured out how to get you guys not to scatter and then get some, not authority, but like get it civilized here, because usually I'm like... You know, Penny's like, you see what you created? So next time we do that, we're just going to have you just stand up, person behind you. Got it. Alex, Levi, take notes of that next time you do that. Keep it under the control. Anyways, today's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God today. I'm super happy to be here, super excited to be here and fellowship with you guys. I actually want to tell you a story real quick. Now, before you be like, oh my gosh, like you got to tell a story. Actually, I was reading a book. So at my job, where I work at, they actually give bonuses for reading books. So you better believe I was reading a book this week, right? They just like, I'll be reading that book. So I read this book, and I'll cut it short for you. It's about a little boy and a dog, right? Now, I haven't finished it yet, and I am an integrity-based person, so I didn't go in there and be like, I finished it, I didn't, so I didn't get my bonus, but maybe next week. But, so it's about this little boy who walks into a store, and he limps into the store, and he looks. He's like, I want to buy a dog. So the owner of the store, he goes, all right, you want to buy a dog? What kind of dog you like? He's like, I'm looking for a puppy. He's like, all right, cool. So the guy, he whistles out, and the puppies, just a bunch of puppies start running out from the back. And he's looking. The little boy's like, oh my gosh, like this is so sweet, this is so cool. And then he notices one that starts limping out. So the little boy goes, sir, that dog right there, why is it limping? He's like, oh, well, see, when it was a baby, it actually got ran over, so it's never going to be able to run or walk again. That's not an issue. That's not a problem. He's like, so what other dog that you have? You don't have to worry about this dog. Don't worry about it. So the little boy looks at him. He goes, I want that dog. Owner goes, why do you want that dog for? Like, it's never going to run or walk. Like, let me get you a new dog. Like, this is a good dog, right? Little boy goes, no, I want that dog. He's like, the owner goes, all right, I'm going to charge you $5 for this dog. He's like, are you sure you want this dog? I'm giving you one last opportunity. Do you want this dog or not? So he goes, I want this dog. So the little boy looks up to him. He says, right now, all I got is 25 cents. But give me a couple months, and I'll pay you off. You know my mom. I know where I live, so you'll collect the money once every month. He's like, fair deal. So he picks up the dog. He hands the dog to the little boy. And he looks, and he's like, real quick. He's walking out. He goes, real quick, why'd you want that dog for? Little boy looks around, turns around. He says, picks up his pants, and he has a prosthetic leg. And he says, well, see, sir, my mom and my dad said that I would never run or walk again. He's like, but they still love me anyway. Like, they don't look at me any different. So why would I look at this dog any different? He's like, that's why I want this dog. And it got me thinking, and I was reading this book. I was like, oh. Oh my gosh, I want a dog now, right? I want a dog. But the reason I bring up this story is for a simple reason. Is that too often times in our life, we look at one another and we look at each other's flaws. We look at, say, and we say, well, you know, this person maybe has an issue, has an addiction, or this person did something wrong. And we don't look at the true value of somebody, the way that Christ looks at us, of our true value. How would you like it if you turned to God and you said, Lord, take me as I am, Lord. And the Lord looks at you and says, nah, you got a limp. You got a limp. How would that make you feel? Would that make you feel any less of a person to know that our Lord and Savior didn't accept you for the way that you were? So I entitled my sermon today, I entitled it, Lord, Take Me As I Am. The reason I said take me as I am is because I'm not a perfect person. I have flaws. I'm far beyond perfect. You'll never hear me say that I have it all figured out, because I don't. But I know that but one thing that I do know is that because I'm not perfect, I'm hoping and waiting for the day that I do become perfect when Christ returns. So I want to look at in the scripture about some imperfect people. That God didn't look and said, Jesus didn't look and say, nah, you know, you're different. One of some of the people that I want to look at today are tax collectors within scripture. And if you notice throughout scripture, you notice that tax collectors are associated with sinners. between the Pharisees, they would describe, why are you sitting with the tax collectors and the sinners? Why are you with the tax collectors? Why are you with the tax collectors and the sinners? Does anybody know why tax collectors were so hated in Scripture? Just a wild guess. They cheated. What else? They got rich at other people's expense. Exactly. Tax collectors were Jews who were working for the hated Romans, enriching them because at the expense of the Jews. What about a sinner? When they talk about sinners, does anybody know why they would the Pharisees describe them as sinners? What was a sinner? What'd they associate a sinner with? You guys get that? Well, another way that they associate a sinner was also a Jew who did not follow the law, according to the Pharisees. But if you turn your Bibles with me, I want to look at a couple tax collectors. So if you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 5, in Luke chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 26. In Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 26. And it reads, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.' After these things he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, sitting at the tax office, and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Levi, don't you work with the government? Change the name to Matthew. I like it. So in verse 28, he says, "So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast at his house. And there were a great number of tax collectors there, and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those are well, have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call on the righteous, but on sinners to come to repentance.'" It's a gift that we get to speak to Christ every day and we get to ask for forgiveness. Did anyone ask for forgiveness today? When was the last time you asked for forgiveness? This morning? You don't got to tell me. I can see it in your guys' faces. That is a gift that God gives us. It's a beautiful thing that we get to talk to God every day. Lord, I'm not married. But if I was, I would hope that I can go to my wife and be like, "Baby, I'm sorry. Forgive me." No. Buy me flowers, chocolate, and then I'll forgive you, right? I'd be broke like every day, but. But with God, God doesn't ask us to buy flowers or nothing. He just asks, "Come speak to me. I'm here for you. Talk to me. Tell me what's wrong." Another tax collector that we're going to look at, if you look at Luke chapter 19, turn the Bible with me to Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. It says, "And then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief and tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Then Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So we made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw that, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with the man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore them fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost.'" How many of you times, those that are married, so I defer to you, how many of you times have you seen your spouse go do something a certain way and you're that anchor in that relationship to say, "No, come back"? But I was, you can say it in your heads, but too often times in marriages, one has to be the anchor for the other to not let that other go astray. And so when they astray, what do? You bring them back. And you forgive them and you take them back the way that they are. You say, I mean, I hope, I would imagine, this is what I would say. I'd be like, you know, I want a divorce. But like, no, I'm just kidding. I don't want a divorce. I forgive you. Let's work on these things. Right? And that's the way that Christ is with us. He takes us at our flaws. Though we're beat, and though a lot of us are maybe beaten, broken, battered, and bruised mentally, physically, emotionally, He loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. And though some of us may not be the best at shaking hands, and maybe we're really good at holding grudges, I mean, He loves us anyway. In 1 Peter 4, what Alex read, was to suffer to be a Christian. Not for evil, or for gossip, or for murder. See, when we suffer, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. And in those moments of trials and tribulations, what's our initial reaction? If you turn, I want to look at one more story. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, I love the book of Luke. So if you turn your page, just a couple pages over, to Luke chapter 15, it's a story that we're all very familiar with. But in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 11, and this is the parable that Jesus gives about the lost son. In verse 11, he said, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to far country, then wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" It's pretty interesting. Actually 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure if any, I have a couple of you know, but I actually got promoted at my job. And one of the promotions that they, as I moved up, they wanted me to do a speech. So the company sends me a speech. I have a speech on my phone. I don't get to write my own speech. They're like, "Oh, you want to say this?" So I said, "Cool." So I said it, gave a video. They took a video of me and whatever. So the next day, my boss, Reggie, he calls me in. He says, "Cool. Congratulations on getting promoted. I want you to start interviewing people now." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you want to start interviewing people for the company." I said, "Okay." I was like, "I've only been here like 6-7 weeks. Like, I'm already going to be interviewing?" He's like, "Yeah." So he goes, "So here's this gentleman. He gave me a portfolio. Has this gentleman's names and as far as like his information, what he's looking for in a career." I said, "Cool." So he said, "I want two things of you." He said, "Make sure that the interview is an hour. No more than an hour, because you got other stuff you need to come back to the office and do. And make sure that you tell him about the company, what we do, why he wants to work here." So I said, "Cool, simple." So I get out, I'm out in the office. I said, "What's up, Manuel? Let's go, boy. Let's go downstairs to the cafe." He goes, "Okay." I said, "So we take him down to the cafe," and I'm all pumped up. I'm like, "Yeah, this is going to be super easy, super easy. I'm going to start my own team. I'm going to do this and that." In my head, I'm thinking, right? So I get to the office, and I go, "All right, Manuel, tell me a little about yourself." He goes, "All right, my name is Manuel. I'm a hard worker. I love to work for this company. I'm all about growth and development." I said, "All right, Manuel." So I said, "Tell me a little bit about your work ethic. Tell me an experience where you had to work hard, because this job requires you to work really hard." And he goes, "All right, cool. I was in football, and I can never miss with coach." And I said, "You were in football." And so he starts out. I said, "What position you play?" He's like, "Oh, I play defense." And we started talking about, we went from football to weightlifting to bodybuilding to comic books, and then we finished off. I think so. When I started the interview, it was like at 11 o'clock. I look at my watch, it's 1 o'clock. And I say, and so we just finished talking about how bad our teams had played in the NFL. And I say, "All right, Manuel, I mean, I like you. You're hired." So I walk back upstairs, right? So, I mean, my first interview, I hired him on the spot. And I said, "All right." So I walk upstairs. My boss, Reggie, his name's Reggie. He looks at me and says, what took you so long?" I said, "Dude, I was getting to know the guy." And he's like, "All right." He's like, "Did you tell him about the company?" I said, I briefly, right? And he's like, "Okay, did you tell him why he wants to work here?" I said, yeah, I did." He said, "What'd he say?" He said, he's looking for like growth and opportunity." He's like, "So what else?" He's like, "I don't know, but I mean, I got to know him. Like, I mean, I liked him," right? So he's like, "Robert," and he starts laughing. He goes, "Robert, bro, like, I know you're still new to this, so next time someone interviews for the company, I want you to get to know them, but tell them about why you want to work here." So I go, all right, I got it. I'm going to be straightforward and be like, what do you want? What are you working here? Why do you want to work here? Go, right? So I that's my mindset. And I tell Reggie that. He starts laughing, right? So I go. So yesterday I took out another interview by the name of Tay. Nice guy, right? And I don't know if anyone's ever seen my dad sweat, but he was sweating like that. Like, he was dripping in sweat. And I was like, all right, Tay, let's go, boy. Let's go. Let's get this. So I go down to the cafe again, and I'm interviewing him. He sits down. I say, Tay, I said, tell me about yourself. So he's sweating. And he goes, yes, sir. All right, sir. You know, what do you want to know, sir? I said, dude, relax. Like, why do you want to work here? He's like, yes, sir. So, sir, what I'm looking for, sir, is just, you know, I want to develop and grow, sir. And I said, all right, Tay, like, you know, I was like, I felt good. I was like, I got the power to hire you or not, so you better be nice or whatever, right? So I was just still feeling myself a little bit. But I'm just joking. He was just like, so he's like, yes, sir. So he tells me about himself, you know, goes on for an hour. I tell him about the company, what we do, how you get paid, things like that. And he goes, he starts telling me, he's like, yes, sir, I'm ready to work. I can come every day whenever you need me. I'm here, sir, I'm here. I said, all right, Tay, I like you. And I go, real quick, Tay, let's back it up. Who's your favorite football team? And he goes, and we start talking, but I cut it off at that. I cut it off at that. But the reason that I bring this up is because we're either one or the other. We're either someone who's joyful to talk to God and say, you know, let's communicate, or we're, you know, very still and just like, yes, God, like, Lord, forgive me, right? And the reason I bring that up is because I'm the same way. Like, when I talk to God, it's either because I'm crying out to him, or because I know that I've done something wrong, and in my mind, I think that he's not going to forgive me, right? And how many of us have been in that situation where, like, I don't know if God can forgive me for what I said, what I've done, what I thought, what these evil things, but I'm here to reassure you, and it takes me some time to really, I don't know who said it, but someone said that he takes us the way that we are. The way that we are. God came for the sinners. He came for those who are struggling. He came for those. He wants you just the way that you are. And by doing that, when you accept him and you come to him, he begins to mold you from the inside out. It starts with your heart, then your mind, and then everything else just falls into place. But it comes from us making that decision to come to him. So, Lord, look at me. This is what I am. This is who I am. This is all that I am. This is all that I have. Lord, will you accept me? So the parable of the lost son, I bring that in there because at the end of the story, as we all were well aware, he comes back to his father. And what does his father do after he has strayed? What does his father do? He welcomes him back. Takes the money, leaves the country, doesn't say goodbye, and yet he welcomes back with open arms. And I think, I feel like in society today, we look at our flaws and we don't accept us as people. We don't, if I make a flaw, you judge me off that flaw. I don't want to live that way. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, it says, walk in the ways of Though we walk in the ways of the Lord in the world, God has mercy. It is through faith we've been saved. Not of ourselves, but it's a gift from God. I don't know if you understand that, but it's mercy. Like, God forgives. We don't earn that. I want to look at one more passage in 1 Timothy. So if you turn your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 12. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 12. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, which is why, you know, and I love this verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting with verse 12, it says, and I thank Christ, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into this ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an isolate man, I obtained mercy because I did not ignorantly in belief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, that worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners. Of who am I at the forefront and the chief? Paul is saying, he came to save me. I'm a sinner. I'm at the forefront. I'm at the forefront of being a sinner. And yet you came and you saved me, Lord. So Lord, would take me as I am. Mold me. Make me the person that you want me to be. Because I'm at the forefront of being a sinner. But you love me anyway. So today, I want to just encourage you guys to speak to one another, to not look at each other's flaws, but to love one another. Because that's the way Jesus loves us. He doesn't look at our flaws. He looks at us as a person and says, I love you for you. I love you for you. You know, and I guess the best example that I can give as well is just that, you know, whether it's a spouse or a family member, if they had an addiction or anything, would you love them any less? Would you love your spouse any less if they were struggling? Or would you love them more and try to help them and be there for them? So take me as I am, Lord. And I pray that we can all move forward and not look at each other's flaws, but rather help one another out of love. Thank you. God bless.